Blog Talk Radio.
The Consummate Fitness Professional. Part 4, continued. Prior to every session, it's really important that you arrive on time. I heard an old adage, and I think this dates back to probably in, high school, and even some coaches even say this to their athletes. You're on time if you're 5 minutes early. You're late if you show up on time, and if you show up 5 minutes late, all's lost. Same thing can be said for the sessions that you have booked with your client. Regardless of any situation, you should always be on time with your clients. There's never an excuse available. It's not like a doctor where you can be able to go to a doctor's office and sit in the waiting room for minutes at a time, be taken into the back room, sit for even longer, and then he finally shows up and you pay him nonetheless. Time is valuable in the world of personal training, not only for you as a personal trainer, but also for your client. They've invested not only their interests, they've invested their money, their hopes, their dreams of meeting goals and attaining something greater within them through you. They've also invested their time. You just throw someone's time away. It's probably the biggest form of a disrespect that you can be able to pay them. And you, as a consummate fitness professional, should know that this is the most valuable resource that you have. I'll discuss a little bit more about this later. For now, I want to discuss what I did that made me successful. I had two types of sessions. I usually honored 30-minute sessions with my clients or 60-minute sessions. There was occasionally an exception to that rule, but only probably 1% of that time. So we're going to look at 30-minute sessions and 60-minute sessions. This is not to say that you're going to train the person for 30 minutes straight and then jump into your next session, nor does it indicate the same for 60 minutes. You're not going to train them for an entire hour and then jump into your next session, because let's be real, there has to be some time that you have to, first of all, debrief with your current client, send them on their way, file and organize everything from a session, and then pull out for your next session. So, in a 30-minute session, I typically would always set the expectations with my clientele that it was technically right about a 27-minute to a 28-minute session. The other 2 minutes is typically getting ready for the next session. So rest assured, their appointment may be at, say, 6 p.m., but I'm already getting ready for them at 5:58, latest. Now, with full-hour sessions, I'd always allow for at least a 3 to 5 minute buffer. So, for instance, a person's appointment might start at 6 o'clock. I'm going to probably try to really get it to where I'm setting up right about at 5:55 for my 6 o'clock appointment. There's going to be some instances where you might have a half hour before your hour, so eating a full 5 minutes into a half-hour session is a big no-no. This is where preparation is absolutely paramount for you as a personal trainer. Know what your day looks like. Know how it's planned out and have everything set up in advance. So if your workday starts at 6 a.m. and it's done at 2 p.m., you should have all of your clients laid out and ready to go. All of those plans, that is. You should have all of your clients' plans laid out one after the other, so that way you can be able to go from one session to the next. You can be able to pull their file out. Okay, I'm going to be seeing Tom, and Tom's goals are these, and we're going to be planning on doing these things today. So by having all of your plans laid out for you, for your day and you meet up with your client, you've got it ready to go. The very first thing you should always do, whether it's the first time or the 1,000th time you're meeting up with your client, you should always inform them of what they can expect in a session. Expectations laid up front is going to set up victory for not only you as the trainer, but for the client as well. Both of you are on the same page then. From time to time, you can be able to have your plan set out and you communicate this to them. This is where it's really paramount that they know what's going on. So let's just say, for instance, you have a leg training day. You express to them, this is what we're going to do, and make it a 30-second soundbite, maybe even less, just trying to inform them what's going on. You don't need to give a full play-by-play and a full rundown of who, what, where, when, and why. Just a brief commercial and a nice little synopsis. But you're informing them, hey, look, we've got leg training today. We're going to possibly start it out with some squats, and we're going to go to single-leg movements, and then I'm going to work a little bit more with you in Tabata so we can get your heart rate up. At this point, your client can either give you a rundown of what's going on. So, in most instances, they may either gripe or complain, or they might even embrace it. Those are my favorite clients, let me tell you. Then there are occasions, we'll say, for instance, that client might come in and say, you know what, I clipped my leg on the corner of a counter today, and I've been walking funny. At this point, you're going to have to call an audible, much like they do in football. They change the plays right then and there. That's when you've got to be ready and always have some sort of a backup plan. You're new to this profession. It might be a little difficult to do. And this is where you've got to be open and honest. Clients love honesty when you are up front with them. Okay, look, I wasn't expecting this, so if you can bear with me, I'm going to try to modify things today. Had a couple of people that used to say, how do you do that? Other personal trainers would say, how are you able to do it so fast? Believe me, my first year into the business, I was a train wreck when you would have someone come in and change my whole plan. I would literally want to pull out the hair, even though I'm completely bald. I would want to pull the hair out of my head, run over into the men's locker room, and cry myself into a fetal position in the shower stall. Don't be that way. Take a nice deep breath. They know you're not superhuman. And if you're able to express to them, look, if you bear with me, I'm still going to give you a great session today. Since we're going to have to modify things, it's going to probably be a little more of a deliberate pace. Do you mind? And they typically will tell you. So, setting the expectation. Let's go ahead and back this up just a little bit. Let's assume this is a first-time client for you. Now, when they're walking through the door, you shouldn't be telling them they're going to have a leg training session. This goes for everybody across the board. Your first experience with anybody should be getting to know them. The very first session, there's going to be rare exceptions to the rule when you will take them into a session. But these are the things that you should cross off your list before engaging your client. This is for liability's sake and protecting them. You want to make sure you protect your client. So knowing them, not only the reason why they're doing it, but you need to know their specific conditions. They may not have any health conditions whatsoever, and that's good. But there are going to be some occasions. Some people are going to come up to you, and they are brand new to the gym. Those ones I would embrace. I was so enthusiastic. I love it when I have a person new to fitness. I feel like a kid in a candy store. I feel like I've got a present ready for them for Christmas. And you should feel that way, too, because what you can be able to do to get to that new person is that same enthusiasm. But before you get too excited. Get to know them first. First thing you need to do is sit down, fill out the necessary information. If you're part of a chain gym, they typically will have different forms that you can be able to fill out with their name, their age, their birthday, their home address, their email, etc., etc. If you're an independent trainer, most certification programs will come with templates. And I anticipate that when you get your certification or your degree, that you get all these forms in place. So just a very basic orientation sheet that you can be able to fill out, and you know who this is, you're going to refer back to it time and again. Focus on that person's name and what they prefer to be called. That should be the very first interaction that you have with them. You go up and you shake their hand. Look them directly in the eye and don't stare them down. Be friendly. Smile. Introduce yourself. For instance, I would say, "Hello, I'm Dale. I'm your trainer. I'm going to be working with you today. What do you prefer I call you?" And that will typically open dialogue up. Never assume that a person wants to be called by their first name or be called Mr. or Mrs. or Sir or Ma'am. Sounds kind of crazy because I'm a little bit old school. I believe that a little courtesy and politeness of saying Sir and Ma'am go a long way. But unfortunately, we're into a day and age that a lot of people actually take offense to it. And believe me, there was a couple of times where I used Sir or Ma'am and I was quickly corrected because they felt they were not old enough to deserve such title. That's why it's important to ask, what do you prefer I call you? Prefer to be called? What is your name? However you feel comfortable in finding out what they wish to be called. There's going to be instances you might know ahead of time that, say, John Doe comes in. Well, maybe somebody calls him Jay instead of John, and he just detests the name John. Or maybe he prefers to be respected and called Mr. Doe. Or quite possibly, he could even be a doctor. There's a lot of doctors that prefer to be called by doctor. I've had a few clients, too, that were doctors, and I just went ahead and say, "Are you okay with me calling you doc?" They usually said, "Yeah, sure." Never had anybody say no on that one. But remember, that's a familiar phrase, and make sure it's okay ahead of time. So they filled out the personal info, give them a little bit of breathing room so they're able to fill it out, or you can fill it out with them. I always kind of found it nice that I could sit down and go through that information with them so I can kind of get to know them as I was going along. Try not to stay too long on this area because you're going to need to get to the important things such as the waiver as well as the informed consent. Typically, those two things will come into one form, but sometimes there are changes that keep them completely separate. And according to your certification or your liability insurance, you may have to have some separate. Familiar with those things. The waiver, the liability waiver, and the informed consent is essentially telling your client, look, there is an inherent risk in what we are doing. If at any point you don't feel comfortable with doing a particular movement, please let me know, and I will try to make the necessary modifications. Also, when you're saying an informed consent, you're informing them that there is an inherent risk and a danger, that it's very possible that you could get lightheaded, dizzy, or nauseous, that you could injure yourself, that you could have a heart attack or even a stroke. Okay, this is the point that I'm not trying to scare you as a personal trainer, but you need to be aware that this has happened in the world today. I've seen some of these instances, and thank goodness, knock on wood, I haven't had that instance of somebody dying in a session. But I will tell you, I've had many people get lightheaded, dizzy, nauseous. They've vomited. I even had a gentleman who thought he was at the top of his game, and he passed out. That right there is scary for everyone involved. And believe me, as I'm keeping my cool head as this gentleman passed out, I'm going, thank goodness he signed the form. But in the same instance, in the forefront of my mind is take care of this gentleman, make sure he's okay. Thankfully, breathe a sigh of relief, folks. Though he was humbled, he came back for his next couple of sessions, and he was ever the more happier. He actually got in great shape. So that's where the waivers and form consents are so important. And regardless of how you're practicing as a personal trainer, this should always, always, always be one of your first tools. If somebody wishes to go through and read the entire informed consent before they sign off, then allow them to. Don't just gloss over and say, ah, yeah, we have to do that. No, this is important. And if somebody refuses to sign it, then you as a personal trainer have a duty to not only them, but yourself, that you have to say, I cannot provide you the service. It is an ethical standpoint, to be honest with you, that you make a stand for something like that. It is for the safety of you, your business, and that person's health, that they fill out and they understand that there is an inherent risk. I hate to say it. I wish that we could all be able to just jump in, do push-ups, jump jacks, squats, and everything else in between, and we'd all be safe and get better health. But the truth is, there is going to be risk involved. The next thing is, if somebody has any kind of special conditions being high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, any condition such as that, they need to get a doctor's consent. They need to get a doctor's release. Their primary care physician needs to know they are working with you, and they need to give their blessings in the forms of a doctor's release. So if you're scheduling a person for a session, that's going to be one of the things you need to come up. Is there any conditions you need to be aware of prior to our session? And at that point, they hopefully will be able to say, actually, yes. But if you don't cover that in setting the appointment, don't worry. They get there. You find out for your first session, I'm sorry, actually, I have a heart condition. I have to take medications. I have to do this. I have to do that. Everything and the other. Don't worry yourself through an entire session if this man's going to have a heart attack. You need to look out for his best interests and let him know, I'm sorry, this is my policy. I absolutely need to know that your doctor is on board with me. And I would be really happy to discuss this with him. I encourage you, as a consummate fitness professional, you're going to be the individual that you don't just make your potential client go and get the doctor's release. Help him. Help them get the doctor's release. If there's a phone number I can be able to call, I'd be happy to go ahead and get a hold of them and see if we can be able to get things going. And sometimes you're going to have to put a little bit of extra service in your customer service. The greatest thing is, rarely did I ever have to get a hold of somebody's primary care physician or their family doctor, because they typically would either have it done ahead of time or they happily went after it. The rare occasions that I didn't feel 100% comfortable with something, I typically would move their session a little further out, maybe a week or so, and say, I need to get a hold of your doctor. There's a few things I need to discuss with them as far as your programming goes. I want to get you the best session possible. And I think the best way that we can do that is if I talk with your doctor directly about what we're going to do and what are some things I need to look out for, some contraindications. So, they've got through all, they're writing out, filling out the forms. Let's talk goals. There needs to be a reason, a purpose, a reason why your client is choosing to engage with you. Whether they are doing marathons, or they're looking to lose 30 pounds, or maybe they're just trying to get themselves into a good shape. A little vague, as I discussed in the last episode. You got to really get it down towards measurable. Get a time-specific measurable goal. and agree upon it. You may be the expert, and if you shoot out something at them and they don't entirely agree with you, well, guess what? They might not follow through with it. You have to give them sound advice that makes logical sense, and also it's appropriate to the certification that you have and the training that you have. So if you don't know how many weeks it takes to lose 10 pounds that's realistic to a person's age, gender, and activity level, then you probably shouldn't be spouting out that kind of advice. But then if you've gotten to this point, you probably are pretty solid on that. So, measurable, time-specific. Okay. So let's say we need to lose 1 pound. I'm just going to throw some generic for you. I want to lose 1 pound. Okay. Why is that? Find out why a person wants to do what they want to do. And when you can really attach that down, write it down. Don't just try to remember it in your head. I'm telling you this right now. Whether you write it down or you put it inside your phone, or you might keep it on like a touchpad of some sort. Either way, make sure that you're keeping track of these things because they're very important. You're going to review and come back to those in the future sessions with your clients. And the next thing is, okay, you want to lose 1 pound. How soon do you want to do that? They might say yesterday. They might say today, or anytime will be fine. You know, that's where you really need to kind of tie it down. Get them to where they can get it as soon as possible, but realistically speaking, but not allowing them to go toward the mediocre end of things. So, for instance, you can probably say, why don't we shoot for 1 pound in the next week? And this is how we're going to do it. Lay out the plan, a very rough plan, and explain to them that it is, and ask them, what do you think? Hopefully they start to warm up to you by now after getting through all the forms and the introductions and everything else in between, and they may agree upon it. And if they don't agree upon it, say, well, how would you make this better? It's funny because it'll knock them out of their chair. They're not going to believe, oh, my gosh, the expert just asked me, what do I think is realistic? Sit back, listen, don't judge. Once again, sit back. Listen, don't judge. This is where you're going to get to know your client and see where their mindset is at that time. So after you agree on your realistic, measurable, time-specific goals, it's time to do the measurements. Measurements could refer to using a scale, a tape measure. In the rare occasion, if you're still stuck in the 20th century, a skinfold caliper, body fat, impedance device. There's some people, though, if they're running a marathon, then chances are pretty likely they're not going to want to touch scale. So you're going to probably want to do some kind of a test with them. You want to be able to maybe get them run a mile, see how well they do. Maybe you want to see what their flexibility is like. Your certification is going to know what specifically you are to do with what is pertinent to your client's goals. First day should be when you first measure, not the second day or the third day or the fourth day. First day, get a good snapshot. And something also I would highly recommend is take a picture of your client and let them know, hey, look, I'm not going to post this in the newspaper, but I need to keep it for my personal records. That way I get all my clients in the same order. This really helped me out a lot because there was a lot of people that would say, I'm not comfortable with the before picture. Okay, this is not trickery, and this is not a way of fooling your clients. This is legitimate. You can actually be able to get your before picture, yes, but really getting a file with a picture and a name attached to it can be super important. Now, I'm going to finish up today with setting your schedule. Back in about 2006 to 2007, I began the business. And This has started out really well. It boomed right away. I was super happy. I had some of the greatest mentors in the business, and I had some awesome peers, fantastic individuals that worked alongside me, and I was able to learn and grow from them. But one of the things that I found was I never said no. And the more successful I became, the more my time filled up, and then I started to go beyond my time. And I started filling people in later and later and earlier before long. My days were 12 to 16 hours with, about an hour, half hour breaks here and there throughout the day. And that's really rough. If that's your way of measuring success, by all means, I'm not going to take that from you. But I'm going to tell you this. It's hard to sustain that type of a lifestyle. You'll be making a lot of money, yes, but you'll never be able to spend it. So set your schedule and stick to it. Now, you're probably saying, well, what happens when I have a client that might be finishing up at this time in the next 2 weeks, and I've got this person who wants to start with me now? Well, let's put it this way. If you were to go to a restaurant, let's say it opens at 6 a.m. and it closes at 9 p.m. every day. Let's say you just go ahead and you call them up at about 8:30 p.m. and say, hey, I want to reserve a table. I'll be there at 9:30. Do you think they're going to keep that restaurant open? Chances are pretty unlikely they're going to keep the restaurant open. This is the same thing for you. It is a service-based industry that you need to set a schedule and stick to it. Don't just sell out because you're looking to get as many clients as you can. What I ran into in 2008 was complete and utter burnout. I was working 7 days a week. That's right, no single day off. And yes, I was packed from morning to night, but I was miserable. And when I sat down and discussed it with my manager at the time, she told me that same advice I say to you right now. Set your schedule and stick to it. Times, clients, and potential clients will honor that. Here's the nice thing. You can actually begin to set up a wait list. Maybe during that interim, just follow up with those potential clients and the people you haven't started that with. Give them small things to keep them going. In your time, and you're going to have successful sessions, always confirm at the end of appointment your next appointment with them. Let me repeat that. Always confirm your next session with your client before the session's over. So that way, once again, you're setting expectations. I can't tell you how much heartache I had by not confirming appointments and someone wouldn't show and they said, you never told me. Even though they booked the session, you're still at a loss. Sure, you can be able to cancel them if you have the cancellation policy they signed off on. But let's be honest, nobody likes to do that. You want to work with clients. You want to be seen with clients. You want clients to get results. So when you set your schedule, you set an appointment, it never hurts to over-communicate. Join me tomorrow as we go into part 5, and I'm going to discuss just a few random thoughts on do's and don'ts. Things I've seen that are wrong, and some things that I've seen of right. Take care.